Radio Reverb.
Welcome to the UK's only radio show about HIV and living a healthy life. It's the HIV Hour. On today's show, we feature a rundown of the latest news and talking points about living with HIV from the Brighton area and the world at large. Also, information on Brighton's HIV organisations and some other events. Do email us at hivhour@gmail.com, or you can follow us on Twitter at @hiv_hour and Instagram at @hivhour. If you miss the show on a Thursday at 7 p.m, then you can listen again at 4 p.m. on Monday and at noon on Tuesday, or indeed catch up with an older show by going to the Listen Again page on radioreverb.com.
Hi everybody.
Good evening. I'm back.
She's back.
She's back.
Is that the only thing we can do?
It seems like ages I've been on the show.
You've missed 3 weeks.
Have I changed? I look different. Yeah.
You've got your hair different.
Yeah. It's like an aggravated bob.
Thank you very much, guys.
Agitated nice. No, yeah. You look lovely, Sue.
Thank you.
Welcome to the HIV Hour on Radio Reverb. As open the show, Sue, welcome back. And we haven't got Stuart with us today. He's off doing different things, which is nice. Yeah. Uh-huh. And so what's everyone been up to? Anything interesting?
We went to the HIV Commission, didn't we, Sue?
We did.
Friday, which was, I found it really interesting.
It was very interesting.
So that's a gathering of loads of different
HIV organisations with the same mission in Brighton to end HIV and end HIV stigma. So it's all the sort of governing bodies within Brighton.
And they go around the country, don't they?
They go to different cities
and talk about fast tracking.
And
people who are important in the city, like THT and Lunch Positive.
Yeah.
They all did a presentation.
It's good.
That was good. Really, I met some really interesting people.
And we talked about the show, didn't we?
We certainly did. We gave that a rattle push, And some of the commissioners didn't realise anything at all about the HIV artists. You do realise it's the only HIV radio show in the UK.
They were well interested.
So we did give them a speech. So that was really interesting.
Good. Mm-hmm. So has it been up to anything else?
I went for a dance on Friday.
Oh, yeah, XXL.
Yeah, it was okay. I've forgotten what it's like, really.
Was it a dinner and dance? I don't think they have dinner and dance at XXL, no.
It wasn't that kind
of
thing.
It was a sweaty, messy,
it was good. It was good laugh. It's nice to go out.
It is nice.
There's a lot more clubbing going on in Brighton at the moment, I think. Club nights coming back, which is good. How about you, Carl?
Not done much. I actually haven't done much this week. Mm-hmm. So I'm preparing myself for a busy week ahead.
I've got
some stuff coming up with you.
It's
been pretty quiet.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's this time of year, isn't it?
Yeah.
So a question for you, Sue. Should we have a song or what do you want to...
A question for me?
Yeah. Are you an independent woman?
I try to be. Yeah, yes, I think so. Do you think I am?
Yeah, definitely.
Yes.
So is that a hint?
That's a hint for the next song, yeah. It's Destiny's Child.
Oh, wow.
Excellent. To Radio Reverb 97.2 FM and online with the HIV Hour. If you want to get involved in the show, then please get in touch with us at HIV_hour at Twitter, or you can message us on radioreverb.com. Just a quick kind of thing for the listeners, really. We're doing some female singers all through
it's
the
all
show.
It's all female singers.
And the reason being is because we've just had International Women's Day, which was on the 8th, on Sunday. And we're just continuing that through. And it only makes sense, really, to pick on the most amazing woman that I know. Which is
when she's coming.
So you've sort of built up from the ground, working through Terence Higgins Trust, and doing that. The job that you do now is pretty empowering for women, and that's been sort of your kind of go to, isn't it? Really, you've always wanted to put women at the forefront of
absolutely
HIV because
yes, uh-huh.
they're not talked about a lot.
No, I mean, I took part, and I think I've spoken about this before, but I took part in a campaign just a couple of years ago. It was with the Terence Higgins Trust, and it was the Sophia Forum. And it was a project trying to look into why women were being unrepresented in many situations within the HIV community. And that was quite a big percentage. And if you think about, you know, nearly half of people living with HIV are women in the UK. Mm. And we found out through that report that women are highly unrepresented also in clinical trials as well. And we, you know, and also PrEP as well. We believe, I know we got a fantastic interview later on, but, you know, we believe that PrEP should be available also for women. And so it's really important that women have a voice. And you know, that's one of the reasons, Carl, that I believe, and I meet a lot of women all the time living with HIV, perhaps they don't want to talk about HIV because they think that they feel marginalised for some reason, you know. Yeah. Should be just sitting in the background, you know, let the other people do the talk and do the doing. And I've got a completely different perspective to that. Mm. So and we need to be talking about the women that are in the HIV field. You know, an amazing woman I know, Jill Dean. Amazing advocate for you know, trying to break down stigma, you know, dressing up as Stiggy.
Where does Jill work?
She works at the Lawson unit, doesn't she? She's
Martin Fisher.
She works also for the Martin Fisher Foundation. Amazing advocate, and there's so many fantastic, and because we're talking about National Women's Day, you know, there's so many wonderful women I know within the health profession that do their job, you know, relentlessly. But I mean, I became an advocate many years ago when I was diagnosed myself.
Yeah, I mean, you had to stamp your feet a couple of times, haven't you?
I did, yeah.
And we know that the Terence Higgins Trust is a charity for everybody.
Yes.
But when it comes to testing within their sites, it is predominantly gay men you know, men who have sex with men.
And that is because, and I understand that, I don't agree with it, but I understand because of the funding we get from the funding from the local authorities, so we can do that testing for the highest prevalences of people. I understand that, and I've always had this, you know, negotiating argument, but stigma is the biggest thing. Living with HIV, we have to tackle and target. Mm. So not allowing women just to come and knock on our door as well, to coming home. I know we test some women, but they've got to fit a certain criteria.
Yeah.
I hope and I believe things will get better, but I've gone on about that for years. You know, we go into schools and talk about HIV, don't we? We're trying
That's
to encourage...
That's what I was going to say to you.
Exactly. Yeah, we encourage the young girls to look after their sexual health. But if you don't fit in one of our criteria, you can't knock on our door. We can pathway you onto another door. That doesn't really resonate with me. I have to say that, because that's what we're sort of dealing with at the moment. I'm hoping things are going to change, but I'm a big advocate that not only men use the resources we have, you know, testing and looking after the sexual health, women also.
Why does it have to be about gender?
Exactly. Anyone.
Yeah. And I think that's where the funding comes in.
Yes.
Yeah. Because unfortunately, you know, Terry Higgins was a gay man, and the charity was set up 35 years ago for that sole purpose of people being underrepresented.
Yes,
and
absolutely.
That's why the charity was set up. So I know that you've done reception at Terence Higgins Trust. I've done reception at Terence Higgins Trust. Mm-hmm. And unfortunately, if ladies do walk in, we have to signpost them to their local STI clinic. Uh-huh. But if a gay man comes in, they get sat down and they get... And that is slowly changing.
Things are changing. Yeah. Things are changing. And I'm glad I'm being part of that change. Mm. And also, you know, some of the work that I do, you know, when I first started on this particular project that I work on, there wasn't many women on there.
No.
So I was the only positive woman at the time.
So so programmes like this,
yes,
and
the
your
HIV
positive voices,
hour, positive voices, out there, yeah. You know, so they're connected. And, you know, we're talking about stigma in every single community, aren't we, guys?
Mm. Yes. Yeah.
There is stigma in every single community. Yeah. I felt it, I see it, I hear it. So we need to be working as a team, a bigger team than ever, to knock down the stigma.
Yeah.
So we've got one of your tracks, Sue, I think.
Really? One of my many.
Whitney Houston.
Yes. Is that I'm Every Woman?
It could be.
Yes.
You want it to be.
Yes, I try to be, yes.
Let's have a listen. Ooh, everyone's bopping around now in the studio.
Oh, it's so good to hear her voice.
Yeah, she's doing. We've just been told that she's doing an hologram show.
Yeah,
at the Brisbane Brand Centre. You said.
How interesting.
That'd be interesting.
Yeah, that'd be amazing. Her story is, you know, quite a phenomenal story. Mm. But taken away too quickly.
Yes, very talented. You're listening to Radio Reverb, the HIV Hour on 97.2 FM.
What we're going to look at now, we try and do some stories that are across our country and also across the world as well. And this story has been picked up by the New York Times, which is a patient. So we're now at the second phase. We've got our second patient now has been cured of HIV. And we had the Berlin patient, which is, he's very well known now.
Yes.
He's been living without HIV for quite some years. Mm. And now we've got a second. I don't like calling them patients.
I know.
So his name is Adam. And Adam got diagnosed with Hodgkin's lymphoma in 2012. And battled with cancer for quite some time, in and out of chemotherapy, and eventually he got to the point where he had no cancer in his body, and he was able to have a stem cell transplant or bone marrow transplant. Mm. Bone marrow transplant is very intrusive. It's not a cure for everybody, and it doesn't work for everybody, and you have to be physically fit to have a bone marrow transplant. So Adam has only just come out, you know, saying that he's, you know, not living with HIV anymore. He took a large time off HIV medication, which allowed his clinicians to monitor him.
Mm. Is that part of the doing the stem cell?
Yeah, no, it's not. So stem cell is completely different. Stem cell is to get to knock the chances down of you contracting cancer again.
Yeah.
It knocks it right down. I had stem cell transplant a year and a half ago, but that was from my own stem cells.
Sure.
This is from a donor,
right?
And the donor was immune to HIV.
Wow.
So his DNA has now been implanted into Adam, and has now cleared HIV.
And there's a reason why he's done this, isn't there, Carl? He wants to give people hope.
Yeah.
He's come out. He wants to be an advocate. He wants to be an ambassador, doesn't he?
Yeah, he's kept quiet for quite some
time. He has. Yeah.
And rightly so. You know, it's quite difficult because we get this a lot in the schools when we're doing the talks in the schools.
Sure.
Cure. Yes, there are many different ways that, you know, we hear about the media talking about cure.
Yeah.
But this is the only viable way. Yeah. Someone has been off HIV medications for over 18 months now. And still has regular tests to see if he has got HIV.
Yeah.
Because what HIV is one of the cleverest viruses that you'll find on our planet today. Mm-hmm. It hides in a reservoir at the back of your spine. And it stays there for some time. And if it creeps back into your system again, you're not cured of HIV. So there's a time limit. So you can't say that you're living without HIV and you've been cured if it's only been 6 months. So there has to be a very long period of time for them to actually come out and say, you are now cured of HIV. So, he just wants to be the voice.
Like what you said, Carl, you know, it has to be certain circumstances for someone to go through that. So, you know, I've heard people say to me, oh, well, we'll just have a stem cell. We'll just have stem cell.
Yeah.
You know,
I said, well, imagine it's
It's not as simple as that.
No, it's not a viable way.
Like you've explained,
yeah,
you know.
It's not a viable way.
Yeah.
So, but it does give us hope that, you know, hopefully, you know, bone marrow transplant is very intrusive.
Mm.
Hopefully that they can work upon that.
Sure.
To come up with a viable cure in the future.
Yeah.
But we know that a lot of funding actually doesn't go towards cure anymore.
Mm-hmm.
It goes to prevention, uh-huh, like PrEP, what we're going to be talking about.
And sustainable medications as well.
Yeah.
Some of those a lot of the medications have gone off the market that have given bad side effects. So you're right in saying that, you know, we need to concentrate on keeping people well, living good lives and healthy lives, and prevention as well.
Taking the medication.
Yeah. And with that possible,
Yeah.
I mean, it's a positive story, but we're talking about only two people in the world that have had this and has worked.
Uh-huh.
We have 38 million people living with HIV in our world today.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's not a viable way, and we have to get that across to people.
Mm-hmm.
People can't go to their clinicians and say, I'm up for it. That's not the way it goes.
No.
There was a particular reason why he got the stem cell, because he was living with cancer.
Sure.
And he was very lucky in the respect that the donor was immune to HIV anyway.
Yeah.
So there's many...
Immune in what respect, Carl?
Say that again.
You said that the donor was immune from HIV.
Yeah, so
explain that a bit more.
I've met a couple of guys actually in my time of living with HIV who actually said, I can't get HIV. My immune system doesn't allow my HIV to come into my system.
Mm-hmm.
There's only a very small percentage of these people around.
Gosh.
And I can imagine they're
unique.
Not unique. There are people out there that are immune to HIV and other infections.
So there's a reason why that is. So that's probably why, and they need to, that's why they looked into, isn't it?
And
scientists.
And I think scientists will use this as a sort of go-to for going forward.
Absolutely.
With a possible cure.
Mm.
We had a 6-month-year-old baby cured of HIV a couple of years ago, and then it bounced back, and she's not been cured.
Yeah.
So, you know, we've got many things that think we've got the cure, and then actually, unfortunately, it just bounces back. It hides in that reservoir.
Mm.
So it's something to look out for.
Absolutely.
And it does give us hope.
It's
and
positive.
I always say, if there is a cure in my time, that I will do a naked run around my block, wherever I shall live.
Gosh.
So hopefully you don't live in my block.
No, I'll be aware that week.
Yeah. But it does give us hope.
Yeah.
And
yes,
that's essentially that's what the story is about, giving hope.
Oh, that's great. So after the, I'm going to play Madonna, Ray of Light, which is a great song. I think Stuart, mentioned that one.
Yes,
so after that, we're going to have the interview with Mark from Prepster, Mark Thompson.
Okay.
Excellent.
So, we'll look forward to that. It was a good interview.
Yes, it was.
HIVR is the UK's only show for people living with HIV, sharing stories, news and views on living positively with the virus.
Welcome to the show. We have got a special guest on our show today, Mark Thompson from Prepster. Hello, Mark.
Hey, good afternoon. How you doing?
Yeah, good. Thank you. And you?
I'm really well. Thank
Excellent.
You. Thanks for having me on.
No problem. Yeah, great. Thanks for coming on.
We're just going to basically start from the beginning, really, and just see how your involvement through PrEP came about and how it all started, if that's all right with you.
Yeah, sure. So I've been working in and around health promotion and HIV prevention for way too many years, more years than I care to remember.
Right.
In 2015, a really good friend of mine, Will Nutland, got in touch with me to talk about PrEP and how we can start getting the message out to our communities. We were acutely aware that there was a lot of conversation happening, particularly amongst gay and bisexual men and online, about this new thing called PrEP.
Can we just clarify what PrEP stands for our listeners, please?
Yeah, sure, of course. PrEP is pre-exposure prophylaxis. It's a drug that can be taken just before somebody has sex, which prevents them getting HIV or acquiring HIV. It's the same drug or a very similar drug that people who are living with HIV take to manage their HIV. Great. And in this case, it's usually a drug which is sometimes called Truvada, but there are other brand names which are applied to it.
Right, and that's separate from PEP, which is what started everything off years ago, and now we're on to PrEP, which is pre.
Yes, so PEP is post, so you take that after sex within 72 hours up to a month. PrEP you take before, you can take it in different ways, and sometimes the best ways to get that information is to probably visit our website, prepster.info, where we've got all of the information that you would need if you wanted to start PrEP, where you can get it, how you should take it.
Great. We will actually put that on our website as well, so that people can, you know, divert more information to you. So that's great. So sorry for interrupting in there.
No, so I have a tendency to just go off.
No, that's good. That's what we need.
Yeah, that sounds good.
Yeah. So we recognise that there was a lot of communication happening in various communities around PrEP, and people had lots of questions about it. And what we recognise is that a lot of the larger organisations were just not in a position to be able to act really quickly. So we got together because we both worked in health promotion and HIV prevention for a really long time, and we recognised that we could act quite quickly. So we got together with a couple of other guys, a graphic designer, a researcher, and we created PrEPster. And first of all, it was going to be some online resource, which was about giving information, but also trying to enable people to lobby government and the health authorities and local authorities to get PrEP access to them, because still PrEP isn't available in the UK on the NHS yet. Sorry, in England on the NHS yet.
So that's what we needed, wasn't it, really? Is we need government backing. I'm sure you tried to do it on your own, but ultimately you actually need the backing from other people as well, don't you, as well?
Yeah, I mean, you're talking about, you know, I mean, this is a drug which costs money, which should be available on the NHS, and we needed NHS England and all of the other bodies, both national and local, to get on board to try to make sure that this drug was available in sexual health clinics and going further in other places where people can access prevention methods. So really, I mean, what happened, which was really good, was that the IMPACT trial was started by NHS England, which enabled a significant number of people across the country to get access to PrEP on the NHS. But that was only a trial.
Right.
And so a fully commissioned service isn't available at the moment.
Right, okay. So the trial is still ongoing?
Yeah, the trial is still currently ongoing. I think it's really important to point out that the trial isn't to find out if the drugs work.
We know that now, don't we?
We know PrEP works, absolutely. It's really important. What the trial is to tell us is what it would look like in a real-world situation. So how much might it cost your local clinic? Who might take up PrEP? How are the best ways for people to get PrEP to them?
Right.
So that's what the trial is telling us, and we're hoping that should end later this year.
So we just have to clarify, this isn't us and yourself saying that PrEP works. This is science that tells us PrEP is working. It's cutting down numbers across the country and over the world as well, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, there have been several studies done across the globe to look at the impactfulness and the effectiveness of PrEP, and it has shown to work to prevent people acquiring HIV as long as they take it as directed. And it's the same as HIV medication, right? It works to manage the HIV in a person's body as long as you take it regularly, frequently, and you adhere to it. And it's the same for PrEP.
Right.
Mark, could I just ask you a question? Obviously, fantastic work you've been doing over the years, and I know I've met you on more than a couple of occasions when you were working at the Terence Higgins Trust. So I'm a massive advocate, and quite rightly so, also for women. I mean, what is your take on women and PrEP?
Yeah, I mean, women will really, really benefit from PrEP, particularly women who have a higher risk of HIV, of acquiring HIV. I think that we've done a lot of work. Well, PrEPster has certainly done a lot of work to push the message of PrEP to women, particularly women from communities that have higher rates of HIV, so Black African women and some younger women. What we're finding, there hasn't been as large an uptake on the impact trial for women. So on the impact trial, there were spaces that were put aside specifically for women. Now, I think that the challenge that we've got is women understanding their risk. Yeah. And that's been a long thing that we've had in HIV prevention. So even if we go back to women using or taking control of their sexual health, right? So there's lots of dynamics which come into play. So I think the key thing that we can do right now, and there's been a lot of work, which is to raise awareness of the women who are at risk of HIV, sure, that this is available to you. I think it's really important to point out that the way that we take PrEP, so gay men can have something called event-based dosing, whereas where they could take PrEP as they're about to have sex,
sure,
women will need to take PrEP regularly.
Yeah.
So, but again, all of that information is on our website.
Great. And thank you for clarifying that, because as I say, I work with a lot of women, and some women have even said to me, but that's only for men, isn't it?
Yeah, yeah.
So, and it's like you said, it's getting that correct information. You know, PrEP can be for everyone that needs it and requires it.
Yeah, and I think what's really important, I mean, I think, you know, one of the biggest messages that we can put out to all communities, but especially to women, is that PrEP puts you in control.
Yeah.
So with a condom, you have to negotiate condom use with your partner. So if you are a woman who doesn't have the capacity to do that, or you're in an abusive relationship, or let's look at it from a completely different angle, you just really love having lots of sex.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
We're like, oh gosh, we need to avoid HIV. Well, actually, I just love having lots of sex with lots of different people. So I don't like using lots of condoms, so I'll get on PrEP.
Yeah.
So again, it's a really sex positive thing that we should be pushing to people.
Because at the start of the campaign, correct me if I'm wrong, it was, I know my clinicians were always saying, you know, the use of condoms and PrEP is the best way of protecting yourselves against HIV. Like you've just pointed out, negotiating condoms isn't always done in the correct way and in the correct timing. We can safely say now that PrEP is so good that we can take away the negotiation of condoms and feel confident and comfortable, you know, with sex and possibly not contracting HIV. Is that a shift? Is that a change in PrEP? Or is it something that you still advocate is using condom use as well as the medication?
No, I mean, for us, I mean, you know, if one wants to avoid HIV, you could just use PrEP. If you want to avoid other STIs as well, I mean, that's where the condom conversation needs to be coming in now.
Of course.
I use condoms to prevent other STIs. But I think what we need to look at is we've got the prevention toolkit now. So with U equals U, undetectable equals untransmittable. If, as a positive man myself, with my partner, I'm undetectable, he doesn't necessarily need to use PrEP with me or condoms, right? Because we might be having a monogamous relationship and therefore that's unnecessary. So I think it's a conversation that we need to have around testing frequently, the U equals U conversation, PrEP, and condoms if you want them. Condoms give some people absolute peace of mind.
Right.
And they've worked for years. We know that the PrEP is just, if not sometimes, a bit more effective.
So, Max, Josh, hi again. So you do other projects, don't you, I noticed, the Love Tank and blackoutuk.com. Could you tell us a little bit about that as well, those projects?
Well, first of all, the Love Tank is the parent organisation of PrEPstar. We're a community interest company, and we were set up in 2018 to hold PrEPstar and a number of other different projects. So what we're trying to do is what we kind of call it refueling the community. So we're taking great ideas, great research, great health promotion, and we're putting those back into the community. The Love Tank acts as an incubator for brand new, crazy, innovative ideas. You know, so we invite younger people and professionals and whoever to come along to us to say, right, you know, we want to develop a piece of work to work with marginalized communities, to work with gay men, African women, you know, disabled groups, trans communities, to improve their health and well-being.
It's,
and that's what we've been doing.
Getting people involved, isn't it?
And we're really grassroots, but we also act as a mentoring and we support people. Blackout is my other project, and I set that up with some friends in 2016, and that was around providing an online and space in the real world for black gay men who come from the UK, because we recognized that that was missing and our voices were not being heard. So we've got an online space, we do lots of activities in the communities, lots of work and events for black gay men across the UK.
Fabulous.
So we are getting there slowly. It's getting the information out to as many people as we can. And what can we do as a community? What can we do to lobby Parliament or kick their butts, as it were, to try and get this to the next stage? Is there anything that we can do as a community to do this?
I mean, I think we keep doing what we've been doing and doing really well, which is to constantly apply pressure to have amazing champions in some of our big organisations, but also at a real grassroots level. For me, as an activist, what's always worked really well is giving individuals the tools to act on their own. Yeah. So one of the earliest things we did at Prepster was to create a 9 things that you could do. And they range from writing letters to your MP to just telling your friends about Prep.
Right, okay, great.
Just maybe putting a hashtag on your social media post. So there's so many things that we can do as individuals which will build into the much bigger collective movement. We don't all have to march on Parliament with banners.
No.
Sometimes a really quiet conversation in the hairdressers is activism, right? So I think we can all play a part, but we need to make sure that people have the tools and that they're aware that their small action can make a huge difference.
Yeah, we played I saw the video they did in the hairdressers. That was really good.
So that was great.
Striking, that's good.
Mark, apparently on the 5th of March, the government pledged to commission PrEP across the board from April 2020.
Mm-hmm.
Do you honestly think that's going to go ahead?
We're still waiting for the decision. We've heard that. We're still waiting for the decision. But I mean, you know, I don't often say to be fair to the government, but in this instance, I will say to be fair to the government, there's a lot going on right now.
Absolutely,
you know? Things like the coronavirus takes priority
of course.
Over that and the nation's safety. So
of course.
We're hopeful and we think we're definitely going in the right direction.
What can if someone's listening to hopefully someone's listening to this our listeners are listening to this and they want to access PrEP, how do they go about it? Is it best to speak to their GP, go to their STI clinic? What's the best way of making that conversation happen?
Well, the first thing is to find out if there's an impact trial spot or clinic in your local area, and you can do that by visiting the impact trial website. You can also visit Terence Higgins Trust and also prepster.info, and we all have information not necessarily about clinic sites, but that will link you to the impact trial. That's number one, so you can try to get on the impact trial.
Right.
If you're in London and you're under 25, you can go along to Dean Street Clinic. They've got a scheme at the moment for under 25 year olds,
and that's to help financially, isn't it?
Yes, exactly.
Right.
And also if you are on I'm not sure if the criteria has shifted, but I think if you are on no income or low wage, you can go to the Terence Higgins Trust to set up a fantastic scheme called the Max Portman Fund, which is giving PrEP to those on low or no income as well. So those are 3 different ways that you can possibly access PrEP.
Fabulous.
Great.
And that's in England. In Scotland, Northern Ireland and Wales, PrEP is available.
We're a little a bit behind on that,
bizarre,
aren't we? I mean, we're coming to the close of the interview. Is there anything that you would like to say to anybody, you know, any messages that you want to get across, just to say out loud?
Well, given this is HIV hour, and I suppose a key thing for me is that, you know, we're constantly talking about ending HIV by the end of the decade.
Yeah.
And I think that's absolutely doable. Mm-hmm. We'll always have some outliers. And I think with PrEP availability and the continuous push for U equals U is really important. I think my only challenge would be that if we end HIV by 2030, let's not forget that there are still positive people who will be alive, living and being well. And so needs will need to be continued to be met and to be kept and to be looked after.
Great, great.
Well, thanks for coming on, Mark. It's been great.
Yeah, thank you.
Really appreciate it.
Thank you. Take care, Mark.
It was a great interview, wasn't it?
Yeah, that was really good.
Really good.
It's amazing.
Really good to get a professional in
the field.
In the field, who knows what they're talking about, and it's nice.
Yeah, no, it was really good. And,
yeah,
it was yeah,
good.
So,
well done, guys.
So we're coming to the end of the show now. It's community news.
Wow. Okay.
Who wants to go first?
Shall I? It's a stop smoking group for LGBTQ in Brighton. Okay. Quit smoking and stay quit in a supportive, friendly and free LGBTQ group. Now, this is beginning on the 19th of March 2020 and it's going to be held at Brighton Town Hall and the session is from 5:30 to 7 p.m. That's the first session and the later sessions will be from 6 p.m. to 7 p.m. It's a 6-week course with an extra session to be arranged at your convenience. Now, flexible support from trained and experienced advisors and your fellow quitters. Use a behaviour change techniques and nicotine replacement therapies. That means patches and gum, etc. if wanted. Now, if you're interested in taking part in this course, the contact is Simon on 01273 296877 to discuss and book your place. And as I say, that's the Stop Smoking group for LGBTQ in Brighton.
That's great. Sorry, Sue, we're running out of time. That's all we're doing. I'm doing that thing. Sorry. So we're going to have a competition. The HIV. We're looking for someone to redesign a new logo for us.
Yay.
So
a logo.
If you're running, we're running this competition. We want the logo to be bold, colourful. Stop laughing, Carl. Cold, bold, colourful, stand out and make a statement. So the logo will be used in a new poster campaign we're going to do around the city and probably the area.
Yeah.
So that's good. If you, the closing date will be on the 11th of April.
Mm-hmm.
And we're going to give a prize out, which is a £20 Amazon voucher.
Nice.
And you probably, if you want to come on the show for a little chat, we can do that. And so if you want to send your designs, you can send them to me at josh.sharples332@btinternet.com or our email, HIV Hour email, which is hivhour@gmail.com. So do have a think and it'd be great to have someone who's contributed to the show.
Be part in the sort of the ongoing process.
Absolutely,
of the HIV
great.
Hour.
Yeah, brilliant.
Mm-hmm.
And just to end on the show, we're very privileged that Radio Reverb do allow us to do our show. And we are funded by the Rainbow Fund, but to keep Radio Reverb independent and advert free, it'd be great if anyone could just donate into the show, even just for £8, you'll get a limited edition Radio Reverb tote bag, and which will be posted out to you. Alternatively, you can click on the donate button below, which is on our website, and you can choose the amount that you would like to donate. But every penny goes back to running the station and helping keep Brighton's Radio Reverb advert free. So donate.
Yeah, it's a great thing.
And a great attribute to that, we are, and I've said this a million times, we are the only HIV radio show in the country. We are so privileged in Brighton to have this show. Let's keep it on the air, let's keep it going, let's try and evolve it as well. So yeah, if you can put a few pounds in, that'd be great.
Fantastic.
Yeah,
great show, guys.
Absolutely.
See you next week. Wants to listen to our show, please go to our Listen Again page on Radio Reverb or any other show,
and the podcasts as well, which is every week, and that's on iTunes and Spotify, but we go on the links, don't we, Twitter and Facebook. Mm-hmm. Good night, guys.
Bye-bye.
See you soon.
Bye. Bye, everyone. Just a bit of a break from the law. Radio Reverb 97.2 FM.